Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Hello, Through the Word, Numbers 19 today, and the peculiar directions for the red heifer sacrifice. This one is curious. It just doesn't seem to fit with any of the other sacrifices. For one thing, it's in Numbers. All the others are in Leviticus, but that's just the beginning. It's an interesting one, with no small significance and controversy in modern-day Israel, and even in end-times prophecy. But controversy aside, there is a very practical picture here for us on how to get clean. So let's dig in at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring you a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Give it to Eleazar the priest. It is to be taken outside the camp and slaughtered in his presence." So the sacrifice here is a red heifer. That's a little striking already, much different from the sin offering or burnt offering. First of all, a heifer is a female, a cow that's never been pregnant. This is new. And a fully red cattle is a true rarity. This was special. And then in verse 3, the sacrifice is taken outside the camp, away from the altar. What's going on? Before we get too far, let's do a little review of what the sacrifices were all about. The sacrifices were partly about giving gifts to God, but much more so about getting right with God. Covering sins was not something to be taken lightly. It couldn't be bought with money or things. It required blood. Hebrews 9 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Sin is a life and death issue, and the blood of an animal was a stark reminder of the dark reality of sin and the high cost of forgiveness. If God had instituted a dollar price, a fast, or a special prayer, the people would think forgiveness could simply be bought. Indulge in sin and pay your way out. That's dangerous. It had to be blood. As it says in Leviticus, the life is in the blood. Ultimately, though, we know that the blood of animals was not enough. Only the blood of Christ can save. So why the animal sacrifices? Because every sacrifice in the Old Testament points us powerfully back to the one sacrifice for all times, the cross of Jesus. Each one focuses in on a different element of the cross. The cross did so much. The depth and breadth of what was accomplished at Golgotha when the eternal Son of God was put to death by mortal humans was much more than we realize. But the Lord gave us the sacrifices to give us some clues. So how does the red heifer fit? This one is all about cleansing. So let's look a little closer. The Jesus elements of this sacrifice begin in verse 2. The heifer was without defect, as Jesus had to be without sin. It was never under a man's yoke, just as Jesus was never forced by man's will, but only that of the Father. In verse 3, the heifer was taken outside the camp. This was unique. Jesus was taken outside the city of Jerusalem, to Golgotha. The heifer was taken by the priest, but sacrificed by another man. Jesus was not killed by the high priest Caiaphas, but handed over to Pilate and the Romans. In verse 4, the high priest was to sprinkle the blood toward the tent of meeting. Hebrews tells us that Jesus took his own blood into the heavenly temple for our forgiveness. In verse 5, the priest was to take some cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet wool and throw them onto the burning heifer. Now, all three of these items were also used in the cleansing ceremony for a leper, but there's more to it. The wood points to the cross. And some scholars believe that Jesus was crucified on cedar, though they can't prove it. A hyssop branch was used to offer Jesus a drink while he was on the cross. And the scarlet? Well, it's been said that there is a scarlet ribbon that weaves its way through the Bible. Scarlet is the color of blood. And scarlet wool, like was added here, was woven into the veil in the temple that was torn when Jesus died. Now, the directions for sacrificing the heifer were a little different, but what really sets it apart is what they did with it. The carcass was burned completely, and in verse 9, the ashes were put in a clean place outside the camp. Check out the last part. They are to be kept by the Israelite community for use in the water of cleansing, which was used for the purification of sin. The second part of this chapter explains the various situations in which a person was to use the water of cleansing. For the most part, the cleansing was necessary when contact was made with a dead body. That made a person unclean. All right, break a moment. That's an important word in the Bible, unclean. It's about more than just dirt or germs. Unclean means defiled and unfit to be with God. Unclean kept you out of the tabernacle and out of God's presence. But God made a way for the unclean to become clean again. That's the real key here, how to get clean and how to get back with God. That is what the water of cleansing is all about, for purification from sin. And the picture here is a powerful one. So in verse 11, we get the directions for using this water. Whoever touches a human corpse will be unclean for 7 days. They must purify themselves with the water on the third day and on the seventh day. Then they will be clean. Verses 14 and 16 give similar instruction, various situations in which a person might come in contact with a dead body, and the water of cleansing would be sprinkled on the third and seventh days to purify them. So what's the picture here? The ashes picture the body of Christ sacrificed for us, just as we remember at communion. They are put in pure water. Water pictures either the Holy Spirit or the Word of God. Both clean us out. Jesus washes us through the Word. That's sanctification. So why were the ashes in the water? Because Jesus is in the Word. The Bible is the story of Christ, the story of the Son of God who took on a body and sacrificed it for us. Now, just in case you think I'm stretching this, back in Hebrews 9 again, a direct link is made between the red heifer and the way the blood of Christ washes us clean. There in the New Testament, it says that if the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And that is the heart of this message. The blood of Jesus washes your conscience from dead works. And that is awesome. And then in verse 13, anyone who refused to be cleansed in this way was cut off from Israel. Remember that Jesus told Peter at the foot washing that if we don't let Jesus wash us, then we have no part with him. Cut off. The connections to Christ keep adding up, and there are more if you look for them. For you prophecy watchers, there is a lot more to this red heifer story, particularly with the rebuilding of the temple. The Jews are actively working towards it today, and they need a red heifer to cleanse the priests. So the search is on. There's also an ancient Jewish tradition that the Messiah himself will find the red heifer. There's lots of theories and talk online, but it's not mentioned specifically in the Bible, so be careful what you read and what you trust. And speaking of the Bible, read Numbers 19 and let Jesus wash you clean through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.